You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the first try at going to university doesn't guarantee a degree. We hear from the director of a new program that offers a second chance to adults who are interested in returning to school after years away. Right now, a new spacecraft is on its way to the Red Planet. NASA launched the InSight lander last weekend from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. Once the lander reaches Mars, it will gather data about the planet's core, seismic activity, and more. Also on the mission are two CUBE satellites, the first time those devices have made it this deep into space. Elizabeth Howell is a freelance space and science reporter who's written for Space.com, NASA, Sky and Telescope, and more. Elizabeth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, this probe launched. How long, first of all, is it going to take to get into Mars and swing into action?
It's going to take about 6 months. It's just because there's such a distance between the two planets. And so it'll be arriving on November 26th. It will touch down. A couple of little CubeSats above in orbit will actually watch it go and hopefully give us some information. And then I think it will start sending back its first data probably late this year or early next year, just once it gets all its instruments on the ground and checked out.
And now the Earth, of course, going around the sun, Mars is doing it too, and sometimes we're closer, sometimes we're further away. Does NASA try to time it so we get as close as we can?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it was very important for this particular mission because one of its instruments had a leak back in late 2015, early 2016. And NASA can only send a probe over to Mars every couple of years, every 26 months, because the orbits of the two planets are just shaped that way. You know, they're only close to each other every so often, and then they drift apart. So what they had to do, actually, was delay the entire mission by 2 years.
Wow.
Just to get that instrument fixed. So it was a bit of a pain at the time, but now they feel extra sure that it's going to be secure and that it's going to do a great job with its science on the Red Planet.
We've heard a lot about the couple of rovers that have been sent there that massively overperformed, had much longer lifespans than expected. This one, I understand, is a stationary mission. Is that right?
It's stationary, but it's really important. Now, I realize that when it comes to saying taking great tourist pictures and looking around Mars, it's not that kind of a mission, so don't be expecting like a new hill every day, a new rock every day. Instead, it has to be extremely still because listening to the inside of the planet, and this is actually really important because, for example, we don't know how the volcanoes on Mars formed. We don't know what the core of Mars looks like inside. We don't even know what kind of information is inside of the interior, you know, in terms of Mars quakes. Because when a meteorite hits Mars or when the crust shifts, there's some kind of an earthquake or Mars quake, as they call it over there, but we don't know how often. And if you're trying to build a structure there as a future crew, that would be really handy. Like, imagine if it was like California out there. They'd be pretty upset.
And we've only really begun to understand what's going on under our feet here on Earth in the last century ago, really, with all the continental drift and how earthquakes happen and how volcanoes happen. We know next to nothing, right, about what's going on under the surface on Mars.
Exactly, because it's that much harder to send a spacecraft over there. We only have a few orbiters, a few of spacecraft that go around the planet, and then we have a few rovers, but their job is not really to look at the inside, it's more to look at the outside. So they're looking at rocks, they're looking at ancient gullies, they're looking at hills, they're looking at all sorts of interesting surface features. But in terms of peering below, you need to dig, and that's what this spacecraft is going to be doing. It has special instruments that will be going right below the surface, and it will be sitting there and just taking the pulse of the planet, so to speak. And that just takes time, and that takes a dedicated type of mission.
What kind of things will the lander use to analyze the planet?
Well, it has three main instruments. The first is a seismometer, which essentially listens to that pulse of Mars that I was talking about. And so it sits quietly on the surface of the planet, just on the ground. And then it can sense any vibrations if a meteorite thumps into the surface or if some sort of a Mars quake happens when the crust shifts inside. The second instrument is called a heat probe, and it's essentially a big drill, and it goes down about 16 feet, which is 5 meters below the surface, and it's just investigating how much heat is flowing through the planet. And that's going to be useful to help us understand volcanoes, interior formation, all kinds of cool stuff. And the third one is a radio antenna experiment. And essentially, what happens is when Mars goes around the sun, it's not a perfect circle and it's not moving perfectly. It kind of wobbles as it goes. And so what it will do, this instrument, is it will measure exactly where InSight is every day, and then it will transmit the location. And as it wobbles while it's going around the sun, it'll tell us a little bit about the insides of Mars, the core, the crust, all that type of stuff.
and all this stuff. This isn't something where it lands, deploys, takes a snapshot, and we know everything. This is going to be stuff that we get data over a long period of time and then try to puzzle it out, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is going to be 2 Earth years or 1 Mars year of data at least, and if it goes longer, that will be even better. So we can't expect to see results right away. It's not like take a picture, move on, do something else. They actually have to wait 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, depending on just how long it takes to collect all the data.
Talking to Elizabeth Howell, freelance space and science reporter, talking about the new Mars probe headed on its way there. Going to tell us hopefully what's going on underneath the surface of Mars. And it's not, Elizabeth, alone. You mentioned those CubeSats going along with us. I had never heard of nor seen anything about these until news, actually reading your reporting on this. What are these little cube dudes doing?
Okay, the Cube Dudes, what's cool about them is they are the smallest spacecraft to ever go to Mars. We have a lot of CubeSats that are orbiting Earth right now and doing communications or taking pictures, but we've never had one leave our planet. So these 2 CubeSats are going to be following along with InSight because they launched on the same rocket and they were released a little bit separately from when InSight was released. And they're actually called Wall-E and Eva, which as fans of Pixar will know, are the amazing little robots from that 2008 film, I believe it was 2008, called Wall-E. And it's a cute film. Everybody should watch it, kids and adults included. So anyway, back to the science. The reason that they're called Wall-E and Eva is they use a special propulsion, sort of like a, how would you explain it, like a fire extinguisher almost. It's how they kind of move themselves around. So that's exactly how the robots are moving themselves around in the movie. So what they'll do is they'll follow along with InSight, and then when InSight is just about to land, they're going to be watching InSight as it goes down and sending back data. And you know why that is? It's because Mars is super hard to land on. We have lost so many spacecraft over the years, and people just want to gather as much data as possible from a landing, because if this one goes right, they want to know how to repeat it.
And if it goes wrong, presumably they can learn something about how to avoid it next time.
Exactly, because back a couple of years ago, the Europeans tried to land a test spacecraft called Schiaparelli, and it didn't make it. So they had to actually wait a few days and try and take some orbital pictures and gather some information that way. This would give them a little bit more information more quickly.
Back to the InSight lander. There's a lot of Mars, a lot of places one could land a thing. How did NASA go about picking where to put this thing to try to learn about the subterranean Mars? A subterranean doesn't work, right? Terranean means Earth. Sub-Martian
well,
Mars.
It will be subterranean because it's digging down, but they can't just sort of land and go boom like in a movie, right? Mm. You know, they got to get on the surface and then drill. So it's called Elysium Planitia, and they chose it precisely because it's extremely boring. You know, there's not a lot of geological activity, not a lot of hills, not a lot of stuff going on. So again, if you want your tourist pictures, this is not the mission for you. But because it's so quiet and because it's so flat, first of all, it's easy to land a spacecraft there. So, hey, that makes it nice and safe for the designers. And the second thing is they can actually sit quietly and they can listen to the inside of the planet. Because imagine, for example, let's take an Earth example. If we were to try and put some kind of a seismometer beside the San Andreas Fault in California, you can imagine a lot of geological activity, right? But if you were heading out to the Midwest, where things are a bit quieter, you're not going to have the same level, right? It's not like it's going to be shouting at you, so to speak. You can sense more vibrations from California, from Alaska, from other parts of the United States.
I understand there's another non-human mission to Mars planned for 2020, I think, and this is weird to me. It's going to include a little helicopter?
Yes, a little helicopter. That's right. It's a brand-new payload that's going to be running along with the Mars 2020 rover. So there's going to be the helicopter, the first on Mars, which is going to be giving us beautiful vistas from the air, which we've never, never had before. So that'll be the mission to wait for if you want some cool pictures. Meanwhile, the rover is going to be running around on the ground and trying to find habitable environments. So Mars used to have ancient water in the ancient past, about 4 billion years ago, but it dried up a long time ago. And we're still trying to figure out why and if there was life and where it could have been. And so this rover will go around. It will try and find evidence of where life could have been. And then it will actually save some of the rocks that it's examining. It will make some special caches. And the idea is maybe in a decade or two, we could send another spacecraft, pick up the stuff, and then bring it all the way back to Earth. So that's pretty exciting, although we'll have to make sure that we're not going to be accidentally contaminating things on Mars or on Earth in the process.
There's clearly a lot we still don't know about Mars, Elizabeth, but have we been in a renaissance? Have we just really had a boom in what we do know?
We have a boom in what we do know, and it's because the computer technology on these satellites is just so powerful and could tell us a lot. I mean, as I was saying, we've had a lot of missions already to Mars that are looking at its surface processes, sending back data. And with today's high-resolution cameras out there, we're getting all sorts of really cool information. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has been there for about 10 or 15 years. Every day it sends back high-resolution data back to Earth, and you can see things such as craters being formed, or you can see a little bit of little dust devils on the surface. It shows us a planet that really is always in change. It's not a static place. It's just like Earth. It has weather. It has processes that make it look different from year to year. So we're just beginning to learn about it, but I think that with the arrival of these more and more powerful spacecraft, we're going to learn a lot more very quickly.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Howell is a freelance space and science reporter. She was with us to talk about the launch of NASA's InSight lander this week, currently on its way now to Mars.